Well, how's everybody tonight? Doing good? Hallelujah. Good. Good, 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 good. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, hope you do. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been on a series for a while now talking about Christ's triumphant church. Hallelujah. And I'm glad it is a triumphant church, and it's good to be a part of a triumphant church. It's good to be on the winning team. Hallelujah. You know, me and the boys kind of one of our hobbies. We're kind of college football fans and I tell you, seems like forever our team's been on the bottom. Hallelujah. This year they're winning. It's kind of nice. Kind of nice to be on a winning team. That's just in the natural. But you know, isn't it great to know that we're on a winning team in God? That his church is triumphant. And I'm not just talking about when Jesus comes back at the end of the book. That's true. But I'm telling you what, we're triumphant right now. Amen. We've been given the keys. We've been looking at a lot of different things. And of course, no way we've looked at so much and studied so much that we can review. I would encourage you, you can either order the CDs or you can go online to our website, graceonthemove.us, and click under audio and go to the podcast, and any of them that you want to listen to, re-listen to, or maybe you missed that lesson, you can go on and listen to it for free. You can download it if you want to, whatever you want to do. It's all free. It's all good. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. I want to read, we'll pick up there with verse 4. Tonight we're going to switch gears just a little bit. We've been talking about authority a lot. Leading up to this, I want to talk about just a few, by no means all, but a few of the important weapons, because it goes without saying, if we have authority, you know, and we've talked about the fact that, you know, we've made the analogy to a policeman or someone like that has been given authority, and they can use that authority no matter how they feel. They're having a good day, bad day, in between day. You know, if they got a headache or if they're feeling tired, don't matter. Authority works, doesn't it? Because it's something that's vested in you. That's not a matter of how you feel. And that authority doesn't come from you, so you don't have to worry about is it going to work, because, you know, after all, you know how I am. You know how the enemy will try to beat you up. Isn't that true? Tries to beat you up, tries to condemn you, tries to tell you, well, who in the world you think you are? You ain't going to use no authority. That's for the preachers and people on TV and all. You know, whatever. You know how he is. He's a liar. But, so, you know, that policeman not only has authority, but he also has something strapped to his side, doesn't he? Because sometimes, you know, you get some hard heads in our society. Isn't that right? Some hard cases, you deal with them still in the court system. Just all those people, hard cases that don't want to obey authority. And so for those hard cases that don't want to obey authority, that policeman has something strapped to his side, and it is a weapon. And he is authorized, if need be, to use it. Isn't that right? And so if you don't want to get that weapon used on you, the best thing you can do is what? Obey the authority. Isn't that right? And so we know with the enemy that he will obey authority, but sometimes he's a hard case. Isn't that right? Sometimes he's a hard case. And so God has given us weapons that we can use in addition to our authority. And in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, the weapons we fight with, I'm reading out of the NIV, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. See, that's where you're going to, your first mistake. If you try to fight a spiritual weapon using natural means, you're going to get beat every time. In other words, if you try to outwit, out-debate, out-reason, out-figure, and all those other things your brain, the natural things want to do, if you try to approach a spiritual battle that way with the enemy, a confrontation with the enemy that way, I can guarantee you, you will lose every time. Amen? Because I hate to burst your bubble, but the devil's been around longer than you, and he's smarter than you are. You know, I know people, you know, we hear people say it from the pulpit, you know, sometimes, you know, that dumb devil, and I use that expression, compared to God, he is dumb, but compared to a man, he's smarter than you. Isn't that right? unless what? We operate with the mind of Christ. And when we operate with the mind of Christ, what? Our mind's renewed to this word and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And some of the weapons we're going to look at, we use that. What? That's the mind of Christ. When we move into the mind of Christ, we move out of our mind into His mind, and we begin to use His authority and His weapons. Then God says this. He says, I'm in back of it. My authority's in back of it. My power's in back of the weapons. And you are guaranteed to win every time.
Amen.
Boy, I like to win.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you like to lose. And if you do, God bless you. We still love you, but I like to win. Amen. Evidently, God likes to win because He's never lost. Isn't that right? And I want to be like Daddy. How about you?
Amen.
Second, He said, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Let's say that together. Divine power. Let's say that again. Divine power. Wow. You know, the weapon, it's one thing that policeman, he may have a 38 or whatever, or a 357 or whatever, his weapon is, or whatever, 9mm or whatever the choice of the weapon is, But here's the thing, and they've got a certain amount of power, but He said the weapons that you and I use in this conflict, He said they have divine power. Ooh, man, we got a hookup. Amen. A hookup to God to demolish strongholds. What are these weapons for? And why has God given divine powers invested in these weapons? It is to destroy what? Strongholds. He said to destroy them. Listen, demolish, destroy. Notice, now He's going to tell us what these strongholds are. We demolish arguments. You ever had... You start to step out on the promise, the covenant of God. You start to take your place. And what immediately will try to rise up in your mind sometimes? Argument. Isn't that right? There's an argument there. Well, God ain't going to hear your prayers. Your faith ain't going to work. God's not going to come through for you. That's not going to work. Look at you. Know what He said? And see, a lot of times we think that that's us. But you know what it is? It's the enemy. Do you know the enemy talks to you all the time? God talks to you all the time, and the enemy talks to you all the time. And boy, if you don't learn to discern that, you're going to be in a world of hurt. The enemy talks to you. How does he talk? Thoughts that come through this mind. Hello? Sure. Thoughts of doubt, guess what? That's coming from the enemy. Thoughts of fear, jealousy, envy, all of those things. Guess what? That's coming from the enemy. He's behind that. You say, I thought that was just me. Well, that's what he wants you to think. He said, we demolish arguments, pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And notice, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. To make it obedient to Christ. That's the reason why. Here's the thing. The greatest need in your life as a Christian is the need to get your mind renewed with the Word of God.
Amen.
Otherwise, those thoughts come and you just slide right into them. That's right. That's right. I knew it.
Yep.
And all the time you don't realize it. I know. But we're agreeing with the devil. And he said, if two of you should agree, God didn't put any parameters on, okay, well, if it's the devil, it won't work. He just said, if any two of you agree. The thought hits you, you're no good, and you agree with it. Thought hits you, your faith won't work, and you agree with it. Thought hits you, God's not going to come through with this time, you agree with it. Well, here's the thing. He's working it against you. He's working it against you. He's a spiritual being. He understands how these things work. Why do you think he attacks you that way? And so the battleground becomes the mind, okay, because that's the linchpin. That's going to determine which way we're going to go, whether I'm going to use this authority and it's going to work for me, or whether or not I'm going to be able to use these weapons and they work for me, or is the enemy going to constantly keep me backed up in a corner in a small, squeezing me in a small, tight place, and that's where I'm going to stay. And all the time he's got me there, and I don't even realize it's him. I just think that's the way it is. That's, you know, well, Pastor, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. Because we looked at the church. We know what the church is. And you're part of the church. You're individual members of it. And nowhere in there did God say his body as individual members that you were doubters. A Christian's never called a doubter. He's never called to be fearful. He's never called to be feeling condemned or guilty. Come on now. Boy, this is good teaching, Pastor. I know this is just good old soup bones and, you know, and taters in the pot. But listen, this is where we live. And this is where the enemy's attacking you every day. He's attacking your mind. I'm telling you, he's coming at it. And if you don't fortify it with God's word, if you don't find out what God says about you. And remember we said we have to submit under authority before we can use authority. And we talked about false humility. That false humility is where the devil tricks us into saying, yeah, I'm really no good. God calls you righteous and you say, I'm no good. Well, who's telling the truth, God or you? Hello? And see, this is where you got the rubber meets the road, though, where we got to get right down to it. Because we're going to talk about these weapons, but if you don't get your mind renewed, you won't use them. Or you won't use them effectively. Because you'll be agreeing with the enemy through the thoughts in your mind. And he will convince you. The enemy has most Christians convinced that they really are unworthy. Mm-hmm. They really are not all that good. God really not wanting to bless them that much to help them. Their prayers really aren't all that effective. Come on. And because he's convinced so many Christians of that, I believe that's why so many Christians are so passive. Yeah. They're passive because what? They believed a lie. This word here, it's a very interesting word here, where he talks about here, he says, taking every thought captive. That word there is the Greek word, I've mentioned it before, sophistry. Sophistry. Here's what that literally means. It's thoughts which are untrue, but they sound reasonable. When he comes along to condemn you, you're no good. Remember how you acted, remember this, remember that, and everything. And so what? It sounds reasonable. And so what do? We agree with it. And what does it do? It limits us. And it limits what God wants to do in our lives. And so as I talk about these weapons, we've got to understand this. I've got to, first of all, this is the first thing. He said, these weapons, he said, they are to demolish strongholds. And what are the strongholds? They are the thought patterns that we've allowed the world, circumstance, and the enemy to put in our mind. Because everybody's had their mind renewed. Are you listening? For a lot of people, their mind's been renewed by circumstances in life. That's why they're so fearful. Oh, I'm just waiting for the next thing to happen. I know the other shoe's going to drop. Come on. I know, you know, I talk about my mom. I love my mom. She's with the Lord. She's a wonderful woman. Great, great, wonderful woman. But here's the thing. She came up through the Great Depression. And that thing had shaped her thinking. And I mean, man, you know, buddy, mom. Now, mom could stretch a book. Lordy, y'all know what I'm talking about? You know somebody came to the, man, I mean, you know. But here's the thing. It shaped her. It was hard for her to get a hold of the fact that you could have a life where you could have more than just enough to get by. It had shaped her life. And there's so many people, so many Christians in different areas that circumstance and life and other people's opinions and all of that we've given weight to and we've listened to, it has renewed your mind and shaped your thinking. And it has become a stronghold. You know, I grew up, of course, most of you know, I grew up in the country. And we lived on a dirt road. Anybody old enough remember dirt roads? Okay. Y'all admitted it. I didn't point you out. But you know, we used to live on dirt road, and you know, when it was dry, it was dusty as all get out, wasn't it? And then when it rained, oh Lord. And you know, when it rained and those trucks or cars or whatever come through there, it'd make those big old deep ruts. Remember that? Right. Then the sun come out and just bake those things in. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Yeah. Man, you could be driving along, and you know, and all of a sudden if your tires got over in that rut, man, it just jerked the wheel on you, wouldn't it? It just jerk you right into that rut. That's what happens when we get our minds get renewed in a certain way. It's like making a rut in our thinking in that area. And the least little thing just, you know, it's like boom, our thoughts just jump right over in that rut. And here I go, thinking that way, thinking negative, whatever it might be. So we have to get our minds renewed. So the first weapon that we have is the Word of God. The Word of God. Because if you don't do this, all the other weapons that we can talk about and the other weapons that you could study about that we won't have time to look at here, it won't matter. It won't matter. The Word of God is a weapon. And he said here, it's mighty. These weapons are mighty. That word mighty there comes from the Greek word dunatos, D-U-N-A-T-O-S, means powerful, capable, strong, and with ability. So the Word of God is what? It is powerful, it is capable, it is strong, and it has ability to do what? To tear down these strongholds. To come in and take the rut of that wrong thinking that life has impressed on our minds, and all of a sudden we begin to get the Word of God in there, and it begins to what? It begins to knock down and fill in that rut and begins to change it, and all of a sudden we begin to develop what? A new way of thinking, what the Bible calls the mind of Christ. Because this is where most people struggle. It's the reason they struggle with their faith, their prayer life. This is the reason they struggle in their authority over the enemy. Because they say, get in the name of Jesus, and that devil, you know, he acts up. And the first thing the thought that hits him, I knew it wouldn't work. Come on. People come up, to be prayed for healing, whether prayer of agreement or something. They come up, you pray for them, they still got a pain in their body. First thought that hits them, I knew I wouldn't get anything. See, that's and they'll go out and say, well, you know, it doesn't work, or it works for some but not for me, and all this kind of stuff. We get all this stuff going. And the root of the problem is, it's not that God's power doesn't work or God's word's not true. It's the fact that what? They've got a stronghold there. It's a stronghold of unbelief, disbelief, a stronghold of doubt. And so, like Dad Hagin used to say, he said, we can lay hands on you till we rub every hair off your head. You're not going to get anything. Amen. Yeah, I can tell it when I come up. Even sometimes, you know, when there's a particular stronger anointing or a healing anointing or something like that, and you can go down the line and lay hands on people, and you come to some people, and it's like laying hands on this podium. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Brother Hagin used to say it's like laying hands on a doorknob. Mm-hmm. Nothing. There's no transfer. Nothing happens. You go to the next one, they get healed. What's the difference? Okay, the big difference is this. It has to do with what? A stronghold there. They didn't believe they were going to get anything. That, you know, they've been conditioned that way. And so we've got to get the Word of God, the power or ability of the Word. Now, real quickly, I'm just going to touch on some things. You know these. You can look these scriptures up. I'm not going to read them all. In Isaiah 55, verse 10, the Bible, God says, His Word will not fail. It will not fail. But here's the thing. You got to get that thought into your mind so that you are willing, okay? You can come to a place where you're willing to risk everything on the Word. Oh, I don't know. That sounds kind of, that's kind of out there. Well, listen. He said, my word that goes forth out of my mouth, he said, it will not return unto me void, empty, without effect. But it will accomplish. What will? You will? No, it will. God's word will. But here's the thing. We have to have what? Some faith to mix with it. And if our thought life is such as we think, well, we'll try it and see. He didn't say, whoever will try it and see. No, he said, whoever will believe. Isn't that what he said? So, first of all, we got to understand God's word will never fail us. We got to get our minds renewed to that, to where we're absolutely, completely, I mean, bless God, circumstance, no circumstance, symptoms or no symptoms, what people say, what the experts say. You know who an expert is, don't you? That's a little spurt away from home. He's an expert. You know, it's amazing. You travel, 50 or 100 miles, all of a sudden you're an expert. Okay, it has ability to give life. John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, again, that goes back into our Western culture again. In our Western culture, I mean, have you ever heard this little saying? Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. Anybody ever heard that? Boy, that's a pack of lies. Oh, it really doesn't matter what I say, what I hear. Doesn't matter. Well, it's interesting. God sure thinks it does. Amen. He said, let no unwholesome word come out of you, your mouth. He said, every idle word you speak, you're going to give account of. Well, if they're irrelevant, why in the world would God say that? Words are spirit. I like to put it this way. Words are like containers. You know, in your home, you got a cabinet or a pantry or something, and you've got some food. I hope you do. Got some food in there. You know, some of it might be in cans or packages, you know, and you look on the can, it's got a label there, and, you know, you can look at that and you can see, you know, okay, what's in that thing? Got some beans, got some corn, whatever it is you got in there, whatever you like, some soup. But here's the thing. The cans are the containers, aren't they? But the thing we understand in that is that, you know, we don't pull out the can and eat the can or rip off the label and eat the label. No, you have to what? Open up the can to get to the food. God's word and words in general are containers. They contain either life or death. They contain something. They are spirit. Spirit beings the only one that can formulate words. Are you listening to me? You don't believe it? Go have a conversation with a cow. Now, I know we talk to our pets and everything, but they can't talk back to you. Isn't that right? They can't articulate. They're spirit and life. And Jesus said, you got to understand this, that words that I speak, he said, they're spirit and life. And so here's the thing. Words are containers. So here's the thing. If I listen to words of fear, what do words of fear contain? Duh, fear. Words of doubt, guess what they contain? Doubt. So when I listen to those words, I entertain those words, I begin to think those words, I begin to speak those words out, guess what I'm doing? I'm just dumping into my life, into my spirit, all of that junk. Then we get down to the crisis of life or something, we get ready to pray, and we wonder why it doesn't work. Why I'm having a hard time believing. I remember brother, F.F. Bosworth, he said this. He said, we feed our bodies 3 hot meals a day, our spirits 1 cold snack a week, and we wonder why we don't have faith. What if you fed your body the way you fed your spirit? It's just a thought. Wonder how long you'd last. Isn't that right? Come on. So we have to understand, it has the ability to set you free. God's word does. Jesus said, he talked about the words and then in John 8, we know that. He said, the truth, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Isn't that right? So God's word has the power to what? Set you free. If you're not free in an area, guess what? Get into the word. Get into the word. He said it sets you free. Oh, I think I need the devil cast out of me. Well, Jesus said if you just get into the truth. Sure, we believe in casting out devils. But you know what? The truth will do it. The truth will run that thing right out of there. We have to be honest with the truth about it. You know, to be honest with ourselves, we haven't been in the truth long enough. Jesus said if you continue in it. If you become a disciple, you know what a disciple is? It's a learner under discipline. In other words, there's some continuity there. There's some consistency there. There's some regularity there that I'm in the Word. Amen? You're at least, you know, be in the Word as much as you eat. Thank you. I got one amen from my wife. The Word has the ability, listen, to expose lies and reveal truth. We know that Hebrews 4:12. It said, the Word of God, what is it? It's a two-edged sword. It's able to reveal. One brother said this, and I think it's true. He said, we judge everybody else by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. And you know, for all of us as human beings in our humanity, how many of you know we all have blind spots? Especially when it comes to our wonderful selves. Isn't that true? But here's the thing. And the Word of God is the only thing that can what? That can deal with those blind spots. That can deal with those attitudes. It can deal with those thoughts that have become a stronghold. You know how we are. We rationalize our problems. You know, we see everybody else's, but we rationalize ours. Isn't that right? Well, you just don't understand my situation. You know, if you just knew if you understood my situation, you would understand why I'm this way. But here's the thing. We got to get into the Word to the point to where what? It saturates us and begins to set us free. Set us free from those fears, those doubts, those anxieties, those things that in Romans 12, it says that this world tries to squeeze us into its way of thinking. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You listen to the media. Do you listen to those things that are controlled by the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air? What are they trying to do? Squeeze you. Squeeze you into thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those things is, all roads lead to God. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of truth. You got your truth. I got mine, and everybody would just be happy. It will try to squeeze you that way. And we've got to get into the Word to the point to where we've got it settled and we know what the truth is.
Yeah.
What the truth is. Listen, you can know truth. It's right here in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let people tell you, you can't know it. The Bible's too hard. See, that's another lie. To keep you what? Out of the book. I mean, especially nowadays, there's all kinds of translations that are easy to read that will help you. You don't have to read it in Elizabethan, unless you like Elizabethan, and that's fine. I think it's a beautiful language, but sometimes thou knowest not what thou readest. To wit. You know what I mean? To wit to who? Don't you know? I think it means that is. So it has the ability. This is the Word of God. And Jesus said this. He said in Mark 11, we know the great faith scripture. He said, the Word of God. He said, if you will speak out what? The Word of God that's in your heart. He said, if you will speak it out. If you will say it, if you will pray it, if it will come out your mouth, you verbalize it, you get it out there. He said, and you believe in your heart what you say or what you pray, he said, you got it.
Amen.
So if we don't got it, we hadn't got it yet. You follow what I mean? I know that's a double negative, but I wanted to say it to impress it on us. Okay, the Word of God. It's power. You think about how powerful that is, that we could take God's Word and put it into our spirit and renew our mind so that now we operate in the wisdom of God. And so when I operate in God's wisdom, now I am smarter than the devil. But I'm operating what? In God's wisdom. I'm thinking God's thoughts. I'm understanding God's ways. And so when that devil comes at me, then, I am operating what? In a superior wisdom. What the Bible calls the mind of Christ. And that's the starting place. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter. We can talk about all these other things all you want to. They're not going to work. Because your mind, Paul called it the carnal mind. Over in Corinthians, he wrote to them. He said, you're still carnal. You know how he knew they were carnal? Because they were fussing and fighting and bickering. They were taking sides. Come on. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm following Paul. Well, Paul don't know nothing. I'm following Peter. He's got the keys. Jesus gave him the keys. Hadn't too much changed, has he? Human nature. We're still that way. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't like that. I don't like this. And I think this. But he said, you're all carnal. He said, you're just carnal. You're still thinking natural. He said, your minds are not renewed yet. And so we need to get our minds renewed. That's the first great weapon that God's given us to pull down strongholds. Because the strongholds are right up here. Hello? And the world and the devil will use circumstances to trigger. Hello? You know, just like the policeman pulls the trigger on that guy. The devil can pull the trigger on a thought and he can get you. Here you go. Right back in it, man. There you go. All right. Let's move on. Talk about another weapon. Okay. The word of God in our heart and in our mouth. It releases the what? Mightiness of God. The ability, the power. The capability of that word. The name of Jesus as a weapon. The name of Jesus as a weapon. I won't spend a whole lot of time. We know this. Jesus has been authorized and he has given us the power of eternity. Of attorney. Turn to Colossians 2. Let me just read this. I won't spend a whole lot of time here because probably this we know. But it won't hurt to hear it again. 2:15, speaking of Jesus, in having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now notice, you know, he disarmed them. Now I wouldn't mind getting in a heavyweight battle fight with a guy if he didn't have any arms. You know, I might could take him. You know, isn't that right? If I'm wrestling with him and he ain't got any arms, I got a good, pretty good chance to take it. That's why he said he's disarmed him. In other words, not literally, but figuratively, what has he done? He's taken away his authority that he had over us. Why? Because when we were under sin, we were in his domain. When we were in his domain, we were under his authority. And being under his authority, he could do whatever he wanted to us. But here's the thing. He says he's disarmed that guy now. He's triumphed over him. Amen? You're there in Colossians. Look back. Let's look in chapter 1 there real quick. Colossians 1. Turn over there. Verse 13. Says he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here's the thing. We've come out of the dominion, the reign, and the authority of Satan and his kingdom. This is why Paul says, then why, since you're no longer under his authority and dominion, why are you still, serving him? Why are you still listening to him? Why are you still obeying him? He says, fear, and you do it. Thought hits you. Remember we said where those thoughts come from? Oh, you better look out. Boy, this economy, you've had it. You're going to lose your house, your car. You're going to shut the doors. This is it. You're going to be one of them. Boy, oh, man, yeah. Remember what they said? Remember what your office manager said the other day? Hello? And what do we need to understand at that point? Hey, wait a minute. I'm not under the authority of the God of this world anymore. I'm not under his authority. I'm in a different kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of love. Hallelujah. Amen. Love's a whole lot better than fear. Because the Bible says fear has torment.
Yeah.
Amen? And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to torture you.
Yeah.
That's really what he's up to. And here's the thing. Not that high, but almost ain't that high. But a big percentage of Christians allow him to. Either they don't know or they're not taking their place to resist him. They don't know they've been given authority. They don't know they've been delivered. Yeah, but, you know, that'd be like, you know, you're here and one day you get a letter from the Ayatollah over there in Iran saying that they're going to come and arrest you and possess your house. Now, what would you do? I mean, would you, look, it's official. Look at this. It's got a big stamp on it. It's got a big gold seal down here. And it's got Dewaki sign. You know, so whoever sent your own here, he's got, man. No, what would you do? File 13. Why? Because he ain't got no authority over you. He ain't got no authority over you. He can write all the letters he wants to. He can make them look as official as he wants to. He can put ribbons on them, seals on them, sign, get everybody in the country in the cabinet to sign it. But it don't matter because they ain't got no authority here in the United States of America. Because I'm a citizen here, not there. This is what we need to understand. The enemy will try to get you to deceive you and to lie to you and trick you. And here's the thing. If you let him, he will. He'll tell you, listen. Don't you listen to all that stuff about you no longer under authority and you're no longer under. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're going to be just as broke as anybody. You're going to fail just like everybody else. You're not going to make it. Come on. You ever had that thought come at you a few million times? What is that? That's the enemy. And see, we need to recognize. Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. So we recognize that. So we've been given what? The name of Jesus. You know, pull that thing out. You know? Put right in his face. Devil, in the name of Jesus. You have no authority here. Amen? You have no jurisdiction here. If there's any problem, I'll talk to the king. And he'll talk to me. But you ain't got no... Listen... Even your sin is none of his business. Tell him where to go. You know, some people are good at that, telling people where to go. Start telling the devil where to go. Use the name of Jesus. I'm not looking at anybody. You know. Use the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? In Exodus, there's an interesting scripture there. I want to read the Exodus 12:12. If you want to turn over there, you can, but I'm going to read it real quick here for you. The thought of this truth, I really like it as it relates here. God spoke, he said, you know, of course, you know, the people of God were in bondage in Egypt. Type of the world, the people of God, we understand that. God said here in verse 12, he said, on the same night, he's speaking to Moses here. He said, I'm going to pass through Egypt, strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And here's the thought I wanted to get to. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Now, Egypt's the type of the world. And that's exactly what happened at Calvary. God again did this very same thing in a cosmic way, not just in over a nation, but cosmically in the heavenly realms. You know what he did? He brought judgment on all the gods of this world. Bam. And when he broke that power over the gods, right after this, you read it, they were free. I mean, that broke that thing. He left. This is what we have to understand, that through Calvary, through the name of Jesus, we remind that devil that God has executed judgment over all the gods of this world, from the prince on down. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can sit there and we use that name, the name of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. This doesn't do you any good if you're just going to try it. You got to believe this. See, it goes back to what I said before. You got to get in the Word. See, you can't just try it. You gotta get it down in you. You gotta know that you know. What does the Word of God say? Bless God. You know? We gotta know it. So one brother said, you gotta know it and you know her. You know, you know her down here and your mind renewed up here. Amen. There are many scriptures. Colossians 2:15 we just read, Philippians 2:9 you can read there. Let's read one more and then we'll move on. Acts, turn over to the book of Acts. If you really want to get some good insight about the power and authority of the name in the early church, in the beginnings of the church, Acts is a great place to look and study. Verse 12, Acts 4:12, Peter is preaching. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus is what they were preaching. He said, there's no other name. There's no other name. Mm-hmm. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Zoroaster. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not the Dalai Lama. Not the Ayatollah. Come on. No other name. Not Baptist, not Catholic, not Pentecostal. No other name. Not charismatic. No other name. Or whatever you put our label on. No other name. And that word salvation there comes from a Greek word, soteria. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Which is a derivative of the word sozo, and it means this. It means not only salvation, but it means deliverance, healing, and the blessings of God. So in other words, it's the fullness of God's plan of redemption, spirit, soul, and body for your life. Amen? And he said, there's no other name given whereby we can what? Exercise this covenant authority. Whereby we can receive everything that we need from God. It comes through that name, and that name's been given to you. Amen. Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, in my name, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Cast out the devil. Lay hands on the sick. Isn't that what he said? How do we do it? What? In his name. Isn't that right? Just go back to the policeman again. Policeman, you know, he's out here. He's on I-95. He gets out of his car. You got all these huge machines, big semi-tractors and everything else in the world up there. He gets out there. He flips on that blue light. And he gets out there and he puts his hand up. And guess what? Well, we don't look to see what his name is on his name tag as to whether or not we're going to stop or not. Well, his name's Bill. I ain't got to stop. It's irrelevant what his personal name is, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether he's tall or short or if it's a woman. Doesn't matter what if they're Asian, Caucasian, African American. It doesn't matter. If you don't look, that's not what you're looking at. What are you looking at? You're looking at what? What is that symbol that he's wearing on his sleeve there? And for us, it's the name of Jesus. So when I lay hands on the sick, when I speak to the enemy, it doesn't matter whether my name's Bill, John, or Roberts, or anything. See, we get in there. Oh, my, if it, Kenneth Copeland, oh, yeah, it'll work for them. Listen, that ain't got nothing to do with it. What it has to do with it, what? Is what? The uniform I'm wearing, the authority I've been given, the name of Jesus, because I'm doing it in his name. When he puts his hand up, he's doing it in the name of the city, the state, whatever, the county, whatever, you know, his authority is derived from. But it's not in himself.
That's right.
He's not saying, in the name of John Doe, stop. Nobody going to stop for that.
Mm-mm.
You know, you and I get out there in our street clothes and start doing that. Man, I'm telling you what, we're probably going to get run over. People be blowing their horns and probably have a few choice other things too. It's a whole big difference, isn't it? Why? Because we don't have the authority. They can look at us and tell that you don't have it. And see, many times I think in the spirit world, that's what the devil, he looks at people and says, oh, I know they don't know. They don't know they got it. And so he'll try to bluff you and boy, here you go. You turn tail and he said, I knew it. Because he's just like, you know, the bully. Anybody go to school with a bully? Maybe you were one. I don't know. You know? But I don't think there was any school, has there ever been a school or a class that didn't have a bully? You know, they were always usually bigger, and they always acted tougher and talked tougher than everybody. You know, it's a funny thing. Sometimes, you know, they just finally picked one. Usually they had a few select people, and they just made life miserable for them. You know what I mean? Oh, God, man. Just picked on them, picked on them, picked on them, picked on them. And I can remember, you may have seen this happen too. That finally, somebody had just been picked on, and finally they had enough. And man, they'd light into that bully, and I mean, man, before he knew it, man, he had him a bloody nose or a black eye. Man, they took off. You know what? As believers, you know, we ought to do that to the devil. We ought to say, enough is enough. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of you bullying me with fear and doubt and all this junk and telling me I ain't going to make it and God is not going to do it for me and all this kind of junk. Man, we need to rise up just like that bird and say, bless God, I've had enough of it. I'm getting ready to give you a bloody nose using the name of Jesus. And you know what you find? He'll back off. See, this is why there has to be some time where you've got to get a little bit bold.
Yep.
Are you listening to me?
Yep.
And you, sometimes you get bold, it might make you get a little bit loud.
Yep.
You know, you ever seen a quiet fight? I don't know, put a silencer on it or something. Yeah. No such thing as a quiet fight, is there? As if you're in a battle. So there are times when you just got to get up and say, listen, devil, in the name of Jesus, I'm not putting up with this anymore.
Yep.
Amen. Get after him. You got the stuff. You know why? Because you have the name. You say, yeah, but I don't feel. Well, what's feeling got to do about it? Amen. If I gave you $1 million tonight and you got up in the morning and you felt broke, would you be? See, that's how unreliable feelings are, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, I don't feel strong. Well, it don't matter. He is.
Yeah.
And he said, be strong in his might. How do we do that? We use the weapons he's given us.
Yep.
We begin to use it. We begin to exercise it. Amen? All right, we'll touch on one more real quick. I know any of these, and I know most of us probably are familiar, but, you know, sometimes, you know, like Paul wrote Timothy, he said, I'm going to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, you know, because sometimes we just kind of shape the cobwebs off a little bit, remind ourselves, bless God, that's right, that is who I am, that's who I belong to, bless God, devil, where's that devil at? Instead of running from him, you're looking for him. And I'm going to tell you what, that devil knows when you mean business. Man, he'll be like, I think I can find somebody else to harass. Because Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. He done got a hold of some of that heavenly power one time. Woo, he knows what that's like. That's some high voltage stuff, so to speak. Because Jesus said, man, when he come down, he was so lit up with God's power, he looked like a bolt of lightning. Woo, he lit up. Hey, man, some of you, we need to light him up. One last weapon we'll talk about, at least introduce it, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Turn back over to Colossians. We were just there. Colossians chapter 1. The blood of Jesus. You know? We need to get back singing our good old blood choruses again. I don't know if there's any new ones been made, but we got some good ones, man. We'll bring them things. Boy, I love to sing about the blood. Don't you? Man, oh man, oh man. Remember when I first got saved, Andre Crouch had one about the blood. They talk about the blood will never lose its power. Man, it gets my motor going just thinking about it. The blood of Jesus. Verse 13 again. We just read that, but I want to read it again. Colossians 1:13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. The blood. The blood. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. And here's the thing. Jesus, remember what Jesus said? He said, no man takes my life. He said, I lay it down. And so we have to understand this. Jesus' death resulted from him giving his life. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' death resulted from him giving his life. Are you listening to it? So it wasn't just the death. It was the fact that what? He gave his life as a ransom. What was the life? The blood. The life is in the blood. Amen?
Amen.
You pour out enough blood, which is the life, guess what that's going to result in? The death of your body. But yes, he died. But why did he die? Because what? He said, I'm laying down my life. Nobody takes it from me. He said, I'm giving it. I'm pouring it out. And so that blood, especially the blood of Jesus, because he was the God-man, okay, and the blood always comes from the Father. That's where the bloodline comes from the Father. So that blood came from his what? From his Father God. Over in Hebrews, he said, you have prepared for me a body. Amen. And it was infused with blood, and it was a perfect blood. It was a sinless blood. You know, we could talk a lot about the blood because, you know what? Sin is in the blood. Why are we subject to diseases and things like that in the natural? Because of the blood. The blood. There's a problem with the blood. The blood is faulty. The blood is corrupted. Are you out there? And so he laid down his life. He poured out this blood. It was a perfect blood, a sinless blood, an incorruptible blood. That's why it says we have been purchased with incorruptible thing, with something that's incorruptible. And that is what? The blood of Jesus. And it has the power of everlasting life in it. And it is like spiritually we have received a blood transfusion. We've passed from what? Death unto life. Because that blood, he says, that blood is still up there, incorruptible. It has been put on the heavenly holy of holies up there. The blood is up there, and the Bible says that blood, as it were, is still speaking, interceding, and declaring what? That what? That this life has been poured out once and for all for the sins of man. And it's incorruptible. Now, you know, you deal with it. Briggs, you deal with it in surgery. Blood is a very corruptible thing, isn't it? It doesn't keep long. As soon as it hits the air, it's corrupted. It's no good then, isn't it? As soon as it hits the air. And if you don't, and even if you capture that blood just right and everything, if you don't immediately get that thing refrigerated at a certain temperature and everything, it'll immediately start corrupting. And so we have to understand the blood of Jesus. He said it's incorruptible. In other words, nothing. There's nothing. Listen, if any sickness, this is why Jesus went. Do you know Jesus was never sick a day in his life? It wasn't because, you know, he had blue cross. Why? Well, see, the thing was, see, his blood was, it was incorruptible. There was nothing in it to make him sick. Are you listening? There was nothing in it to make him sick. And the Bible says that blood is incorruptible and that blood has been shed for you and I. So what? In the same way we understand that his blood was incorruptible and that blood's been applied to us. What? So that we can walk, what? In that eternal life.
Amen.
Not only in our spirit, but he said in your body. Because the life of the body is in the what? The blood. So that blood is applied to us. I remember reading... what was the brother's name in Africa there? John Lake. John Lake was in South Africa way back about 1905. And at that time, you know, of course, you know, they were still traveling by horse and carts and oxen carts and things like that. And there was a plague that broke out there, very deadly plague. I think it was bubonic or something similar, that very virulent disease, you know, and it just sweep through, and I mean, they'd find whole families dead in the house. Whole, you know, almost everybody in a village would be dead, and that kind of thing. And when they died, they would die convulsing in like a bloody froth, you know, on their mouth. And they finally got, you know, it took a while, it, you know, in those days, and it finally started getting some doctors in and some kind of medical, whatever they had at the end of the day. But in the meantime, he'd been there along with some other people helping out. And when they got there, he said, you need to take this inoculation, or you need to take these pills to prevent, you know, you catching this thing. I mean, because they're finding these people and nursing them and burying the ones that were already dead and all that. And he said, man, y'all hadn't come down with this yet? He said, no. He said, well, you need to take this. He said, I'm already inoculated. And they looked at him, you know, like he was a nut. And he said, what do you mean you're already inoculated? He said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. He said, I'll try experiment. He said, you take some of that froth, you know, that bloody froth, somebody that's just died, you know, you can look at it in your microscope and you can see all, you know, all the virus and all that's working. He said, you just set it on my hand and immediately look right back under the microscope and they're all dead. He said, that's what I'm talking about. Hello? Boy, that's something, isn't it? That's a revelation of the blood. And that's what that God wants us to understand. We're justified by the blood. We're redeemed by the blood. Amen?
Amen.
And that we need to plead that blood over our lives, yes, over our families,
yes,
over our homes.
Yeah.
There is power. And the Bible says up there in heaven, is where that blood is still interceding. Amen? See, when the enemy always tries to get you to focus on the natural. But God is always looking on the blood. The enemy says, look at you who you are. And then thought comes to you, wait, but I'm redeemed. But I don't think about that blood stuff. Just look at who you are. But when God looks at you, he sees you through the blood.
Amen.
He sees you through the blood.
Amen.
He said, That's my child. They're righteous because of the blood. That they're justified because of the blood. They're redeemed because of the blood. There's no more judgment or wrath against them because of the blood. You know, for lack of a better way to put it, a quadrillion years from now, that blood will still be incorruptible there in heaven, standing as an eternal intercession and declaration of what Jesus did for us and in us. What a powerful weapon. Amen. We'll talk about this more in our next one, but my time's up. I've run out of time. Hallelujah. Well, you're encouraged about being a part of the triumphant church? I am. Hallelujah. Every time I start talking about this, something just starts rising up on the inside of me. I'm like, bless God, bring it on. You know, I feel like, anybody know the old Popeye cartoons?
Yeah.
You know, Popeye'd be in trouble, man, he'd get out that spinach, man, and that arm would get going. That's the way I feel, brother. I feel like, man, I'm ready to pop him one, you know. Woo, wham. That's amen. Man, you get infused with this stuff, man. It's like spiritual spinach. You're like, bless God, where is that devil? Amen. And you know, it's time we start making him fear us. Isn't that right? The church. Amen. Absolutely. All right. Guys, you ready? We're going to give you opportunity. Anybody would like to give tonight? The guys are going to come by if you want an envelope. They will give you one. We appreciate your faithfulness and your giving, sowing into the kingdom. Amen. I'm telling you, if there's ever a time that I want to be investing in the kingdom of God, boy, it's right now. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Man, I'm going to tell you. Because I'm going to tell you, God's stock market never goes down. It's always up. There's never any depression, recession in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, God's good for it. He's good for it. He said, you give. He said, I'm going to give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you know God knows where all the oil is? Knows where all the gold is. Isn't that right? God knows about what we call inventions that nobody has thought of yet. One word of wisdom from God for you as a business person or just as an individual? Where to put your investment or an invention or whatever. I mean, can you imagine? Sure. Oh, all the good ideas are taken. Boy, I'm telling you, God's got a boatload of them. Isn't that right? He's got all ways he can do it. Let's don't limit him. Let's believe God. Amen? You know, he'll give you an idea for a business or a witty invention or invest your money or whatever. Oh, I don't. You think God? Well, get your mind renewed. Isn't that right? I don't think God makes anybody rich. Well, I hope you don't ever run into Solomon up there, or David, or Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob. We'll make sure we have you on the opposite end of heaven from them because we don't want your theology to get upended up there. I have a feeling all our theology is going to get upended a little bit up there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You ready to give? Father, thank you for the ability to give and for the faithfulness of the people. I thank you, Lord. Your blessing is upon us. And Lord, your word says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and you add no sorrow with it. We give it gladly and joyfully in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, guys, come on quickly. And we're going to let you head to the house. Get a good night's sleep. Man, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be infused with power because you're remembering who you are. You're part of the triumphant church, your authority and the weapons, what God's given you. That devil's under your feet. Bless God. Woo! Some of y'all might be thinking about, I'm going to do some devil chasing around my house. Amen. Put him to, listen, run him out of there. Run him out of there. Amen?
Yeah.
Boy. And your papa will be, you can stand up. Your papa will be up there thinking, boy, did you see my boy? Did you see her? Man? Gabriel, did you see that?
Right.
Isn't that the way you are when your kids?
Yeah.
Your kid rides up and they act on wisdom and things you've taught them. And you see them doing it and making good. Doesn't that make you like, yeah. Well, you know, God's that way. He's a papa. He said, yeah, man, you see that? Boy, you see Seal? Pow! You see, boy, that was a good one, wasn't it? He laid a good one on him. Amen? But let's let that be our mind, the mind of Christ. Father, thank you for the word tonight. And Lord, I thank you, as Peter said, we are not following cunningly devised fables of men. But Lord, this is the truth of the living God, come down through Christ Jesus and revealed by the Holy Spirit to your church. I thank you for it, O God. I thank you, Lord. We are standing on the rock of revelation, the rock of truth, of the word of the living God. And we thank you for it. We give you the glory for it. We give you the honor for it, Lord. For it is all by your hand and by your wisdom in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, have a great weekend, God, and do some devil chasing. Run him out.